Positive Perspective, one of the most interesting hours in radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on the scriptures, music, our communities, and world issues. We're broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
I'm Willis Boyd.
And I'm Shantae Duncan. And you're listening to Positive Perspective.
Tonight, we have in-house Denise Boyd. And that's it. And our subject matter tonight is, how do blacks treat one another? And I'm going to go back a week ago to an event that we were invited to, Shantae and I, where this lovely young lady invited us to, or needed us to volunteer to set up the audio system, or and we were too busy to attend. But after she persisted, we rearranged our schedule, and we drove out 60 miles, or drove up 60 miles to L.A. We told her that we could not stay the whole time for the function. We got there early, and we were ready to do whatever was required, but only finding out that the audio system was already set up. We hung a few pictures and...
we just did menial tasks, setting up the donation box. I think you set up a little bit of the lighting, but like I said, it was something that
was
anyone could really do.
Two lights on a tripod.
It wasn't really worth driving that far to...
And also paying to park. Okay, now... What I want to say is that when we found out that this beautiful young lady, she is saying that, or she used the excuse that black people don't want to help other black people, and is it because that we are selfish, or is it a lot of times we are misled? Okay, I give this lady her props because her ministry was very tight and professional. Her cause is just, she works with the youth.
Yeah, she had young people actually working with her and volunteering their time to support the event.
Yeah, I believe they were auditioning for a play. Very talented lady as well. But to say the least, I walked away from there, and I'm sure you did too, Shantae, feeling like we were deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why she felt that she would have to deceive us to get us to come down there. Why not be honest? Because look at the power in that. We said that we would be there. We were there early with bells on, willing to do whatever it took.
Mm-hmm.
But we had busy schedules, and we had, we could not stay. Okay, I also want to bring up that she took her volunteer shirts back from
us. She gave us volunteer shirts, and we're walking around and working in them, and when we say we have to leave, we were told to give them back. So it wasn't something that I guess we expected, or...
Well, No, I volunteered at a lot of places,
yeah.
And I'm not trying to brag. Not trying to brag at all. But, Christian organizations or whatever, what is that? We used to do the walk thing for L.A. Cancer? Revlon walk run.
Mm-hmm.
You get t-shirts and then, you help out, or you do that stuff, but nobody has ever made me give a t-shirt back. Okay. So I was feeling a little weird about that. And, I guess, I came away from it thinking, why? So feeling a little bit deceived,
And I think one of the things that we also had a problem with was, the fact that, I guess, the ministry leader had an issue with a film called No Good Deed. And the film is directed by Sam Miller. And it's about an escaped convict who terrorizes a woman and her two children. And they're home alone. And this film stars two famous black actors. One is Idris Elba, and the other is Taraji P. Henson. And she went so far as to take a movie poster and have it designed into a floor mat for us to walk over while we're working. in an effort to degrade these actors for taking on the roles that they felt, that she felt they were put in a bad light. So I think we were really just strongly opposed to that.
Okay, she was degrading them because of the...
And kind of taking pride in it, too. Really happy about other people walking over it and promoting that kind of idea that we need to degrade these actors because of the role that they decided to portray.
And that's, in her opinion, degrading Black people or not casting them or portraying them in a positive light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think what she failed to realize is the accomplishments of these actors. For example, I did some research and found that Idris Elba, he's been in quite a few different movie roles. Daddy's Little Girls, Thor, Prometheus. And he's also won a Golden Globe Award for his performance in a TV series called Luther. And I think he's also been receiving really rave reviews for his role as President Nelson Mandela in the film Mandela Long Walk to Freedom. So it just came out, was it a few months ago, I believe? Yeah, it's pretty recent, pretty recent. And Taraji P. Henson is, she has an amazing story. Did some research on her as well and found out that she attended Howard University as a theater major. And at the same time, she was working two jobs, one as a secretary for the Pentagon and another as a cruise ship entertainer. And during her junior year of college at Howard University, she found out that she was pregnant. And, you know, a lot of people would have taken the route of dropping out or trying to get rid of their child and pursuing that. But she was determined to keep her baby and also refused to miss a beat when it came to her performance schedule. So she was still, you know, on top of her game in that, and asked her professors not to treat her any differently. So after she had her son, she kept up her attendance and her performances and fulfilled her dream of you know, becoming a theater major and becoming an actress. In 1995, she graduated from Howard University with a theater degree. So both of them have, you know, amazing accomplishments. And I think to degrade them in such a way because of, I mean, to go that far, I think it's okay to have an opinion about something. I don't think that's wrong, but to go so far as to design a floor mat from a movie poster and have us walk over their faces and degrade them in that way without realizing how much they've accomplished in their lives to get to where they are today.
At that level. But I guess what kind of bothers me is that the teaching the youth to, I guess, protest in that manner is, I mean, these are Black actors and actresses, and you're basically the thing that you're preaching about Black people not helping Black people and this whole thing, you're just trying to destroy these people, you know, with your own selfishness.
Well, it almost sounds like she's talking out of both sides of her mouth. Ooh. In one aspect, saying that Blacks don't want to help Blacks, they don't want to encourage them, they don't want them to be successful and stuff. But then when you do have Black artists, you know, whether, you know, just because she didn't care for the role that they portrayed, she was being disrespectful to them and also teaching the youth to be disrespectful and showing it that way. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we all can have our own opinion and we can all express it because we are allowed to do that. But I think when you work with youth, you have to be very careful, and you're held accountable, or you should be held accountable for your actions, because they're learning from us on what to do. And we should be encouraging and not being disrespectful and downgrading to especially two very, very well-known and very accomplished actor and actresses.
Right. And to go along with what you're saying is that I think youth and also people, I guess, I wanted to do the show because I guess I get tired of people always talking that stuff, you know, about Black this, Black that, or this and that. Like we're supposed to be exempt from everything because we're special. Now, I know as a Black man growing up in the United States that, you know, a lot of injustices were done, and a lot of injustices are still being done. But what can I do to get on top of that? I believe in this country that if we put our heads down and we work hard, if we work hard, and you know what, I'm not, I can't even really say that. I've seen a lot of people, brilliant people, work very hard that are black and get, you know, kicked in the face. But I've also seen white people, Mexican people, Asian people, you know, all kinds of people that are the same way. That, you know, we're not special in that. I think the key is moving forward, and as we all in this room are Christian and believe in Christ Jesus and the faith and the hope of that, looking forward to that, which is dwindling now in America, like even like over in Europe, religion, I'll say, or faith-based organizations, churches are empty and falling apart. I believe that it is the devil's goal that the United States becomes that way as well. Now, I believe also that this young lady professes to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to add anything to that, Ms. Duncan? I kind of took it in a...
I don't know. Yeah,
off the beaten path.
Yeah, I don't know. Like you were saying, she professes that. And I think as a Christian, there's another standard and example that you have to set for young people. And I think slandering and putting that person down is putting what you stand for in a bad light. Like you were saying, you can have your opinion, but be respectful about it. I think the way she went about it was kind of, it wasn't fueled by respect or love or anything. I don't think she promoted any of their accomplishments. I mean, I don't know anything about them in a positive way. I just know that they are portrayed in a negative light, and I don't know if she sees them as sellouts or anything like that, but I think there's ways to do it where you're still being respectful. And as a Christian, I think that's something that you should hold dear to your heart is handling situations in a respectful way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't too many years ago that there was hardly any black actors or actresses that were getting major roles. They may have had the little minor roles, and, you know, a lot of people put Hollywood down because they, you know, they always played roles that were second rate, or, you know, they weren't the star of the shows. And now, you know, that's one of the things that blacks have really been able to grab a lot of the important number one roles in there, and not the second rate movies and the B ones. So, I mean, it's, you know, I think if, you know, actors and actresses have come, you know, a long way and being recognized, and obviously these people, I mean, they're not playing in, you know, ho-hum, you know, type of roles.
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, to tell it like it is with Hollywood, it's always been politics. I mean, it's politics, black people with Academy Awards and Oscars, and I mean, it's all a political runaround game, and in my opinion, it is a game, and to me, there's nothing good about that side of it. And it's not like we're trying to ignore that there isn't a problem or a dark side of Hollywood. But I guess what we're talking about is, how do blacks treat blacks, or black people treat one another to warrant a, I guess, the idea that I can't trust you, that you're talking about one thing but you're doing another thing, is why can't I trust you? Why don't I want to help you? But I'm probably quicker to help, you know, somebody else. So I guess.
Well, I think there's been an issue for years and years. This isn't just a new problem that just cropped on up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way I see things is that these actors and actresses took on a role. They were hired to do a job. You know, they probably got paid a lot of money for the job.
I should hope so.
You know, I remember not too long ago, they had a big festival for Paul Robeson. Uh-huh. You know, he was a very Renaissance man that, you know, was an athlete that never gave up, that he had to fight a lot of racial barriers that went through.
And what was his time? What was his era? I mean, wasn't it, what, the 1800s, right?
No, something it was like it was in the 1900s.
No,
early 1900s.
No.
I don't think it was that long.
Yeah, it was in the early. It was in the early 1900s where he went through.
Are you sure?
And you know, I mean, he had to, like I said, he had to fight the racial barriers of being an athlete, where he was the only black on a team that he made a white team, but he didn't give up.
Yeah.
You know, he took on a role where his counterpart, or because he was kind of the understudy, and the star, you know, Charles Giplin said, "I'm not going to use the N-word. I'm not going to take that role on." And his attitude was, "You know, I'm just an actor. I'm playing the role that I was hired for. The director is asking me to do this. May not be my personal opinion of what should be done, but it's a job that I hired on for." And he became very well known in his theatrics and on to move on to be a politician, to be an advocate. And what if he would have taken the attitude of, you know, the way I'm going to protest or do whatever on something that I don't agree on, so I'm not going to play the role? He'd have never gotten to where he's at now, probably, because he wouldn't have experienced those things or been able to show that he was willing to stand up and fight on one aspect for something.
So kind of what you're saying, too, is that he opened doors. Now, do you think that, like, the step it, fetch it roles and those kind of, I guess, really demeaning, what is it, Amos and Andy and Rochester? Uh-oh, I smell something burning in the kitchen.
Well, I think those were demeaning roles.
But if they did not play those roles, would it have shut the door, or did they open doors because they took those roles? Did they open doors for, we'll say, black actors and actresses today? I mean, a lot of people put those people down or they make fun of them, but very gifted, in my opinion, a lot talent, more talent than back in those days, I'd say. And I'm not a prejudiced man, but I think they had a lot more talent than the white people that were acting and dancing and doing everything. But because of racism, they were swept under the rug or used to just make money. But they were never put in that light that they were supposed to be in, or what I believe meant to be in.
Well, I think a lot of the back in the days of the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s, that a lot of the black actors and singers and performers, they had to go above and beyond. They had to be, you know, on their A game just to try to even get, you know, a job that was with, you know, their white counterparts. Look at Sammy Davis Jr. Well, I mean, this man was a brilliant man as far as his acting, his singing, his dancing. But yet he didn't always get all the recognition that, you know, the Rat File, all the other guys that he was with in there. But I think he probably had at least as much, if not more, talent than the guys he was with. He opened up doors, though, for blacks to play in Vegas, for blacks to do a lot of things that...
And I mean, you got to say, too, that Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, I think what they did at the time was they said that they would not perform without him. And I think, you know, a lot of black people want to put white people down or say they only use you to get what they want. And a white person will not do anything for a black person unless they
can get something.
Yeah, get something in return or make a profit. I think a lot of black Muslims have that opinion or idea. But they, as a group, opened those doors and broke down those barriers where Sammy was working in the all-white casinos or casinos that would not book any black acts. But you're right. A black man, and I'm not saying just a black man, I'm saying all the singers and dancers and actors, white, black, anything, they had to know their game. They had to sing, they had to dance, they had to act, they had to do whatever it took to get that gig. And to me, that made them really super talented people. And that's not just black people, that was white people or whoever was in that business they call show business. And what do you have to say about that, Miss Duncan?
I guess I concur. I agree. I think you've already summed it up, but I think no matter what your race is, you have to be on the top of your game. And I think you can't take away what people or neglect what people put into their art and how long it took them to get where they are. And you said this could be a stepping stone. I think they're already well-known actors, but it's more experience for them. And, you know, it's just a film, how they live in their other, you know, outside of
personal
their acting
lives.
Careers, you know, their personal lives and how they, I think you have to take into account what kind of lives they live, if they're, you know, kind of how they promote themselves and how they act outside of a film.
Now,
I think a film is just a film, but it's it's how you carry
yourself.
And I think they carry themselves, you know, well, from what we see. And I don't think you can just look at a film and degrade and say it degrades the black man if he's not acting that way outside of the film.
He's playing a role.
If that's the case, then we can base every film on.
Well, that's it. It's a film. It's for entertainment. Through there. What if it would have been, you know, a white man and a white woman that was in there? Would she?
That means two black actors and actresses would have been out of work.
Exactly.
And then she could complain about that, right?
But would the attitude towards the movie been the same? Or was it because it was two black people and it was portraying them in a negative way, was the attitude towards the movie?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, how do we treat the show tonight is about how do blacks treat one another and should we be exempt from negative, being portrayed negative in the movies or anything. If someone has a story to tell, should they not tell it because they're in fear of downgrading someone of African descent or African American or a colored person? Or that kind of thing going on.
But I think it goes even farther than just with blacks. Should you not tell the story of a Hispanic, of an Asian, of a white?
I know, but do they have the same attitude? I mean,
I think there's a film coming out about basically how there's like a drug trade that's going on and how they made their living, I guess, that way. And it's within the Asian community. Should be shown in trailers pretty soon, but yeah, if they took a negative view of it, or if any, like you said, if any race were to say, I don't want that information shown because it puts us in a bad light, I don't think so. I think it's just telling a story, or like you can go into music and go to television shows, it can go into anything. What are we allowed to say? What are we allowed to put out into the media if it's going to offend? I think anything can offend somebody.
I know, but growing up as a kid and seeing life, you know, seeing possibility your father beating your mother, or seeing pimps, prostitutes, drug pushers, and you growing up and those people that are doing these things just happen to be black.
Mm-hmm.
Are we supposed to close our eyes and not tell those stories because some, you know, tree huggers believe that, oh, that's going to damage our image. Well, our image has already been damaged.
But what happens is that when these youth get out into the real world, and the real world is not going to have them sheltered of those things, wouldn't it be better for a parent to teach their children, you know, that it's coming from them versus having society teach them?
So what you're saying is it's better that they learn at home than in the streets?
Well, I mean, I think that you I think that you have to teach your children. These things are out there. So you teach them. You don't shelter them from those things. You work with them. Not that I'm saying that you take them to, you know, R-rated movies when they're 8 years old to teach them. There's a, you know, everything has to be time and age appropriate for what goes on. But I would much rather my kids learn from me giving them advice and showing them and leading by example than to have, when they hit 18, 21, 24 years old, go out there and the world is teaching them, because they can be very naive, they can be very hurt and used.
Well, I think what Shantae said is a movie's a movie, but how are these, you know, people acting in their personal lives? Mm-hmm. Are they good example? Are they doing the right things? Donating to charities and being, you know, positive lights. Wait a minute, did I just give a plug for Positive Light Ministries? No,
I think so.
I did not intentionally do that. But it's what she's saying is that I think this is what we have to go on with athletes and everything. Who are they for real? You know, when they're on that field and the endorphins are are lit up, if I can say that, and, you know, that testosterone level is up and adrenaline is flowing, then, you know, they might say or do things that are kind of maybe crazy at that level. And that's another thing. At that level of acting, at that level of sacrifice, I don't think people like us who are normal,
air quotes. He did air quotes.
I don't think we even understand what that is. And, you know, I don't think that we have a right to judge or to try to put down or even to try to understand.
I think on that alone, that in itself, I don't think you can judge a person or degrade somebody based off of a film that they did. It's just the role that they played. I think, yeah, if we did that, we'd have to do that with other people as well, with other races, and other races can complain just as we can. Why people haven't complained that they're always put into a serial killer role or a dysfunctional family type of film, you know? I've never heard people complain about how come the white family can never get along, all of our family members are always arguing, or, you know, there's a ton of films with white families that are dysfunctional and no one complains.
No, wait a minute, what
about.
Are you saying? Are you saying that you've never heard black people complain about white people playing negative parts, or you've never heard white people
complain? I've never
complain.
Heard white people complaining about roles that they're sometimes typecast into.
Oh.
Like we do. And they're just roles and they're just films, I think. There's other brilliant films that you can watch that aren't typical roles. I just think they're typical roles that different races are put into. And there's mm-hmm. other films that aren't that way. Mainstream media kind of mm-hmm. makes the same kind of films with the same kind of roles, with the same kind of type of races playing those roles.
Right. And I think also Spike Lee ran into some issues with Islam about Malcolm X and how he wanted to tell that story, and how people thought they could tell him as a writer, director, and whatever else he is, how to tell his story the way he wanted to. And he basically told them to, I can't say that because I'm a Christian man, and this is Christian radio.
We'll use our imagination.
Yeah. So, people are artists, and that's what their gift is. If they want to tell a story, they're storytellers. And if that's what they want to do, then, you know, they should have that freedom, because, I mean, gosh, there's so many things out there.
Well, I think if you don't agree with what they're doing, don't go see the movie.
Exactly.
Don't put your money there.
Just don't go see it. Don't invest in something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to cut to announcements, and we'll be back with our discussion. You can visit iTunes.com to download podcasts from our previous shows. And if you'd like to call in, our number is 800-893-9562. The best impressions start at home. Elite for affordable prices. Live in large furniture. Drama Stage Qumran has a weekly veterans workshop led by Melvin Johnson and Erlene Anthony. The workshop is on Wednesday nights from 4 to 6 p.m. It's a free course in stage managing, playwriting, and more. If you'd like more information, you can contact Melvin Ishmael Johnson. His number is 213-908-6567 or email dramastage1@yahoo.com. We'd like to thank our professional engineers backstage, Jenny and Andrew. Thank you guys. You're doing an amazing job.
Straight up.
And if you'd like to be a part of our show through sponsorship, you can contact us at 951-789-1046. If you'd like to learn more about Positive Light Ministries, please make a donation and support us. You can visit our website at positivelight.org and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. Thank you for tuning in so far. We're going to continue our discussion. Positive perspective.
Great job, Shante. Okay, we're going to take this into the biblical aspect of all of this. And I mean, we're just going to go there because I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to tie these things into the Bible, which I believe is one of the greatest teaching tools of mankind. I believe that it is the Word of God, and I believe every word in it from cover to cover. So we're going to take this now to the scripture, 2 Samuel 11, verses 3 through 5. Shantae, please.
And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I am pregnant.
Now, wait a minute. King David, and I don't know, maybe you guys know the story, maybe you don't, but King David was walking on his ceiling or roof. I guess that's how they had it in those days.
Kind of.
Yeah, balcony. He should have been out fighting battles because that's what kings did. I guess it was in the springtime. He saw this very beautiful lady taking a bath on the ceiling or on her patio.
Yeah.
And I think that's why her name was Bathsheba. And that is her name, Bathsheba. But I'm not sure
that's it. Mm-hmm.
So
it's
I don't know, yeah. You know, but anyway, long story short. He saw her and he wanted her because she was very beautiful.
But wait a minute.
What?
Wasn't she already married?
Well, yes, I was going to get there. thank you. Anyway, she was married to go ahead, Shantae, the name
of the Uriah.
Uriah the Hittite, right? Mm-hmm. But David kind of ignored that. And he brought her in and he slept with her and she conceived a child. And when David found this out,
I'll continue. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, put Uriah out in front where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die.
Okay, that's jumping the gun a little bit. I was going to give a little history, but basically what David did is that he had Uriah.
He had Uriah be placed in front of the battle. So
he murdered him. He murdered him. But the story before that is that David sent for Uriah and got him drunk, hoping that he'd go in and sleep with his wife to try to cover this thing up. But Uriah, being the servant of the Lord that he was, he didn't feel right. His brothers being out in the field, sleeping in tents, didn't feel right coming home and having those pleasures. So what David had to do after everything he did not work, he had to murder Uriah because he needed to make right, or he thought he could make right the evil that he had done. And then he married Bathsheba. And I mean, the stories in the Bible, 2 Samuel
11:14 through 15.
So anyway, I guess I'm bringing up this scripture because this is King David. Slew David and slew Goliath. I mean, just the overall Jewish king.
Well, he is handpicked from God to carry on the lineage and stuff. He is
the root of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bloodline.
So, I mean, this was a man that just wasn't any run-of-the-mill type of guy. Mm-hmm. He had favor in the Lord's eye.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is if someone took this and made a movie of it, would the Jews cry about it and say that this is depicting them in a bad light, or should this story not be told? And I guess that's what I'm saying. What do you guys think?
I think it kind of allows us to see that David is we put him in this light as a hero and all this stuff, and he is. He conquered Goliath and he did all these great things. But I think when people can see that he made mistakes and that he wasn't perfect, I think it makes him even more relatable that he's human and that he's like the rest of us, that we don't always do the right things, that we make really poor decisions. And I think that's something that you can't block out if you only try to just bring out his good side and the good things that he did without bringing in some of the things that he made a mistake with that he didn't do right.
What do you think it'd be? Do you think it'd be a good movie?
Yeah, I think it would be great entertainment.
Well, I think that history is history. Yeah. And to not tell the whole part of history, only tell the good part of history, is an injustice and service to anyone that's trying to learn about their past.
But isn't that what America basically did with the history books that, I mean, the ones that I grew up?
Yeah, there's certain things they leave out. I mean, with Columbus and all. I was watching something, and that's what it's basically saying. They don't say how the Indians were slaughtered and all this stuff. They just kind of
But is that
Columbus
right
and,
because they did that? I mean...
No, yeah. I'm not. I'm saying it's wrong that they leave that out, but they just leave in certain parts of our history and take out other parts that they don't feel are relevant or put us in a good light. But yeah, we slaughtered and we killed so many people.
But you say we, but it was the white man that did that stuff, wasn't it?
I'm just talking about America. But
no, wait a minute. It wasn't even the white man. It was the Europeans. I guess you would call them Europeans, which is basically white.
Yeah. Well,
but I think...
Now, wait a minute. We didn't have nothing to do with that.
Well, if you want to call yourself an American, then she's talking about an American.
Yeah, in general, there's just stuff.
But I think with what now at the age of the internet... we can go back. Anyone can go back, and you can research enough to see what's out there. Mm-hmm. Just because that's what a school district chooses to put on out doesn't mean that it's sheltering anybody that's in this country, because we all have free access to the web. Mm-hmm. We can look anything up that we want to look up and find out as far detail as you want to find out on detail. And I think that society now is moving more and more because there's more history that you can find. And I think what Shantae was saying about putting out only certain things was wrong. You know, you need to put out, what actually happened. Let people form their own opinions. Don't try to form somebody else's opinion.
Yeah, no,
this.
But maybe they had a floor mat or a master plan that, I mean, you can't put everything in a book. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no,
a book can only hold so much. The curriculum for fifth graders, I mean, you can't give them
a
book.
No, but I'm
like,
saying not even fifth grade. I mean, it goes to middle school, high school. We don't learn anything really.
Well, how many American history classes do you take from kindergarten through 12th grade? It isn't like just one year. Mm-hmm. It's told over and over
and
over.
Yes, you learn the same things over and over again. And it's the same information that's left out every time.
Obviously, you're not going to teach a second grader the same thing you're going to teach a 12th grader. They can't comprehend and handle it.
But they still leave it out.
But they leave it out.
Get to that.
Mm-hmm. But, kids are smarter now on how to go and research this and learn what the truths are. But again, it's history that we all have the right to know what actually happened, mm-hmm. Through right. there. And I think if you're going to make a movie and you're going to make David just be this glamorous guy that, slew mm-hmm. Goliath, and then he went out and won all these battles, and that he was perfect. There ain't nobody out here that's perfect.
It's not realistic.
It's not realistic, and that's not, so... Everybody has a dark side or a skeleton in their closet. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are or who you've been. We all have those.
Yeah, I think there's a balance that we need. And there's movies that have put black people in a great light. And then there's movies that are realistic to some things that black people do that aren't so great.
How about Will Smith? Is it called 7 Pounds?
Yeah, that's a great film.
Is that That's pretty cool, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But how many of these, and I don't know for sure.
Hey.
What are you trying to sneak in? Melvin, you trying to sneak in?
Spontaneous.
And I don't even know if this movie here is based on a true story.
It's not.
Or is it just a movie for entertainment?
It's an entertainment film.
We have to take that in there.
Yeah, Melvin. Hey, Melvin, how you doing?
Oh, love to be here.
Oh, man, it's so good to see you, man. We just having a little discussion here about... tonight is about how do black people treat one another, and it's was brought up about an experience that we had
last weekend when one of the ministry leaders had a disagreement about the way blacks were portrayed in the film No Good Deed, and went so far as to take a movie poster, design it into a floor mat for us to walk all over while we're volunteering and walking on their faces and degrading these actors because they took on these roles.
But we also felt kind of slighted because we were falsely, lured, but...
We just thought we were supposed to do some big things coming from Riverside to L.A.
We tried to go down and assist her because... she had a need, and when we got there, it wasn't really, you know, and then we just felt kind of slighted in that manner.
The remarkable thing is when I was on my way to the station, I bumped into her.
Well, we're not saying any names. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you know what? Actually, we gave her her props because I believe she is a very beautiful, talented, and professional from what we saw of her, you know, her booth and her ministry. Very beautiful, but we don't understand. I guess the question is, why do you feel you have to deceive people to get what you want? And I guess that's kind of it, huh? Is you want something, but you deceiving people. And I don't know if she does that with everybody, but why deceive anybody? And then profess to say, you know, we have to stick together and we have to watch out for one another.
She was saying black people don't help black people. And in the same light that her degrading these actors and her having us comes from so far to volunteer when we're not really doing anything that she was saying that we were going
to
do.
That we needed to do. We felt like we
didn't really need to go down.
Needed to help her because she needed us. And I mean, I was saying the power in that, to have somebody like myself and Shantae, and you know how powerful we are. You know how powerful we are, right? But we're standing there ready to move a mountain and there's nothing to do. But we had, you know, stuff to do. We had functions to go to and prepare for and all these things. And an hour up, driving up, an hour back, we had to pay for parking. Gas is not cheap. So we just felt, you know, deceived, and we just felt, you know, in a way that we need to talk about this thing. And I guess we need to think about how we treat one another.
Without a doubt. But see, I think the best methodology I know for solving conflicts is a pattern that the Messiah Jesus laid out when he's talking about people in the congregation, when you have a problem. Remember what the scriptures say you're supposed to do?
Go.
How you take people there. Uh-huh. It's a 2 or 3 step process.
Right.
See, but the whole essence is to work out the conflict. And see, in anything outside of that methodology that he laid down, see, I think it's inferior to trying to solve a conflict. And I think the last step, I think is it a 3-step? You know the portion I'm talking about where the first one, you have a problem.
You talk to that problem, about that person about the problem. And then if they're not willing to listen, then you bring another brother with you and talk. And then if that still doesn't go through, then you take it to the church.
Yeah, and then the last step is you treat them like they are non-believers. In other words, you move away from them. But what I'm saying is it's very important to follow those steps. See, in the first steps, because unless somebody can come up with a better methodology of solving conflict, especially among the congregation, I haven't heard of any. See, that's the best methodology. You start off, if you can't work it out yourself, a conflict that jumps off, then you're supposed to take step number 2. Right? You take somebody else, which is basically a witness. You bring them there, lay it out in front of them, trying to work out that conflict right there. See? And then you mentioned, I know the last step in it, if it can't be worked out, you know, when you bring that witness there, and if that person still rebels or reject that, then you leave that person off to the outside. But that is the last step. See, the first step is not to cut that person, because that's how a lot of rumors start. See?
Yeah.
You know, so many problems come from lack of a communication. Right. You know, sitting down and talking and all that kind of stuff and working out, hey, being able to confront a person, look, this is what you did and I think it's wrong. You got to explain yourself to me. And then if that person, no, reject that, then you bring a witness in that congregation. Sit down with them, present it in front of them.
I don't want you to elaborate on it, but I know you're going through something like this right now, a misunderstanding, and I don't
care. And we worked it out.
Yeah, well, I
that methodology.
Yeah, looked at the emails, and it looked like it was going in a positive direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very guilty of not going that route, but at the same time, I'm learning that certain people, you want, and you know, I don't want to get too much into it, but I have people that are counseling me.
Mm-hmm.
This one and this one,
mm-hmm.
that one and this one, and I was told some things, and I didn't listen because I felt that this young lady could be an asset,
mm-hmm.
because I mean she is brilliant, spontaneous, in those qualities,
mm-hmm.
But the show that we had with Lupe trusting it. And people that, like you, you know, you've given us this opportunity, but you didn't give it to us because we're flaky. You gave it to us because we were dependable. When we said we'd do something, we did it. If we couldn't do it, we called you, let you know. And we're responsible. And that's why these doors were open, is because of our attitude. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying, is that Black people can't go around saying, well, Black, or you don't help me because you Black and this and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. We have to be responsible people to white people, Mexican people.
Without a doubt.
Everybody.
Well, what is the last word in your guys' name of your organization?
Ministry.
That's important.
Mm-hmm.
See, because you're going to run across all kind of flawed people.
Mm-hmm.
See? The essence is not to throw away a person because they are flawed. You end up throwing away everybody because everybody's flawed.
Well, we all be thrown away because everybody's flawed.
Yeah. The essence is to work it out. Because, see, look, I mean, Skid Row, for example, you got so many conflicts going off down there. Everybody thinks they right in their little different camp.
Mm-hmm.
But who's suffering? The people laying in the street.
Right.
See, this is who people are supposed to be ministering to. And so many people, they lose sight of their ministry. See, and these kind of things that throw them off, because all this stuff need to be worked out so you can keep driving forward what your mission is, you know, to help people. Because you stuck ministry on the end of your name for a reason.
Right.
You could have just said positive light entertainment. You didn't say that.
Mm-mm.
You said positive light ministry. And that you break that word down.
Yeah,
that's a deep. That means you care more about others than you do yourself.
Yeah.
See, and that's what it's about.
Mm? Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. It's about you gonna come in touch with a lot of flawed people. You gonna come to people, man. Ministry. That means you gotta minister to the killers, the murderers, all these kind of people.
But I'm saying we're saying here. This is just our opinion. That person might not be flawed. I might be sitting here in my own.
They flawed.
In my.
You know.
Well, everybody in the system.
Because we all are.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody in the only perfect thing in the universe.
Flawed, right?
Every human out here is flawed. Okay. You know, it might be at the different levels that they're flawed in, but they still.
Okay.
And the whole essence, that's what makes a strong and an important organization, is how you can deal when it's a test.
Most
of the time, it'd be a test among your ministry when you come into these conflicts, because when you overcome them, it makes you strong.
Well, I think everybody has something to learn. So if you take the approach that Melvin is saying, maybe, you know, one of the two people, you know, with what our opinion is, what her opinion was, somebody can grow and say, let me try to handle something a little differently next time and not handle the situation the same way.
I also asked Melvin if he would, if there's always two sides of a coin, a story. I asked him if he would let her explain her side of it on his show, and he said that she could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. It's just one problem with that.
What?
that's not the methodology that the Messiah Jesus laid down for you.
But
you're saying have both same area.
And follow the scripture.
So what are you saying, Melvin? What are you sitting there saying?
I'm saying you guys study the scripture and you believe in it deeply.
I believe in it. That's what we're talking about now. It's how we have to treat.
So the step, right, is a first step. Not me. That could come later on if you want to bring a witness in like that, but that's jumping over step number one. Mm-hmm. Step number one is to sit down to that person, tell them what they did, listen to them, why, and all like that. If you guys can't work it out then you move to step number two.
So what if I go to do that, and I have take some witnesses, because this is a crazy world.
No, that's step two.
But I'm saying, okay, the way you're saying it, step one, I know it's a crazy world.
Yeah.
And I'm saying a person that's acting this in this fashion and then acting like there's no problem there, mm-hmm. and I sit down and have a little pow with her, she hits herself in the eye and call the police on me. No. You don't think that's going to happen?
But I think the problem, the sit down when he says you... was the two of you. You and Shantae were the ones that were actually that were affected by it. I wasn't there, so I should not be in that in that conversation. That's the two of you, so it'd be three people there.
That's the first. If that can't be worked out, step number two. Because human methods, you're always going to run into problems because it's always a better method, and that's your faith-based system. Mm. It's laid out in your belief system.
Yeah. Well, you got me, you know what, because I'm really, I guess, and I'm guilty.
Yes.
I'm tired of struggling and dealing I'm not trying to say, you guys know I'm flawed, probably more flawed than everybody. Mm-hmm. But it gets tiring just dealing with things that like that. I go to organizations and I help people and I walk away feeling good. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I didn't walk away feeling good. And I, we didn't give our props to the LA Convention Center who put that thing on, and they did a brilliant job. It was, mm-hmm. I mean, the atmosphere was exciting.
It was
and
kids playing sports, mm-hmm. kids doing soccer, kids playing music, and there's mm-hmm. a lot
and
of positive
just
things.
A great
all
atmosphere.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but the problem, right? The problem comes, and see, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. See, ask anybody out here that is just dedicated to the struggle if it's easy. Ask Dr. King, was it easy? Mm-hmm. You know, Malcolm, all of these guys decided they want to get committed. If it was, it's easy for the hustlers. Mm-hmm. See, because they got their motive is different. Mm-hmm. See, the first step, get on the phone, call that person. You don't beat around the bush. He said, and you do it in the same kind of way if you was teaching your child. Just say if you was teaching a child or something like that. You would sit down and you say, look, we need to talk. You arrange it and all like that. You get it out. See, the problem come when people hide it or sidestepped it instead of, boom. You lay it out. That's the first step.
I can say
you offended me, and lay it on. Because a lot of times people don't even realize what happened. Yeah. You lay it out. The three of you, since it was three of you involved, the three of you, hey, let's go to a restaurant and sit down, have a coffee, lay it on the line.
Okay, we got to wind it down, but yeah. I really do appreciate you stopping in. It's like, man, wow, huh? Like, man, wow. That's man, what I'm saying. Wow. Like, man, wow.
Man, wow.
And Denise, you are such a beautiful force, and I really appreciate, your help. So, yes, Melvin, we will talk about this and we'll try to get it together. I know where you're coming from, and you are absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And I am guilty of just being tired, just thinking, we need to get it together. We don't have much time. Mm-hmm. And I don't have time for the foolishness. And at a level, like I said, a brilliant young lady at a professional level, but things happen, mm-hmm. And I'm just going to wind down and I guess music. Should we have music?
This is